Divorce isn't the breaking of marriage, that's the end result. Marriage is broken when the cold heart, because of the hardness of sin, rebels against God's design and does not want to be one with another. What makes up a healthy marriage? One that knows God's definition of marriage, that marriage is a gift of God, and one which says, along with Christ, there's no back door. I'm never giving up, even if it kills me.
The following is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. Reaching out with Rock Solid Hope in Rim Country, October 7th, 2018, Mark 10, 2-16.
Karam Chand, at least I hope I'm pronouncing that name correctly, was born in India in 1905. And he actually only died just 2 years ago, reaching the age of 110. Quite a feat. But actually his greatest claim to fame is that he was married in 1925 to his wife, Katari, and remained married with her his whole life, reaching what is acclaimed to the longest-lasting marriage in modern record of history. 90 years and 291 days. Of course, that wasn't verified, but the greatest verified claim by Guinness Records, where they have actual birth certificates and marriage records, is a couple from the United States. There we have Herbert and Zalmyra, who were married in 1924. Both of them lived to the age of 105, bringing theirs the longest verified marriage of 86 years, 290 days. Once again, quite a feat. You can imagine a lot of people came to them asking for advice on how they kept their marriage going for so many years and had such a healthy, loving relationship for over 86 years together. And of course, you can imagine they had a lot of good answers. But this morning, we're going to direct those questions to the best place to find those answers. We're going to turn those questions to the one who designed marriage. And we turn to Mark chapter 10 as Jesus answers questions about marriage. And as we continue our sermon series on family values, we see just why our family, as the people of God, our family values healthy marriages. The Pharisees came to Jesus with a question about marriage. And they were asking him, Jesus, is it permissible for a man to divorce his wife? Mark reveals that behind their question was not the desire to honor marriage, but rather was the desire to test Jesus. And you can see in their question that instead of deciding to find a way they could obey God and serve God, they were looking for a way for a loophole, a way that they could go so far without necessarily breaking God's will. And their question was on how they could come close to dishonoring marriage. Really, like a little child at the zoo looking at the exhibit of the wolves and sees that sign that says, "Don't cross," as they approach a fence. They're asking, how close can we get before we're in real danger? Of course, that's the way the sinful heart we find often we end up approaching our God, isn't it? With a question, wondering not how we can best serve and obey him, but how far can we go, God, before our Creator, our God, becomes upset and we really break his commands? Isn't it the sinful heart that wants to ask, how much can I drink before I'm really abusing alcohol? Or how fast can I go before the police might consider it too fast and pull me over and give me a fine? Or how much do I really need to honor my parents, the child asks. Or someone might be tempted to think and wonder, how many times can I rightfully skip out on worship and not feel guilty about it? But this is the wrong attitude, questioning God's commands rather than seeking to know his will. Jesus doesn't answer their question with following the precedent and practices of his time, which was to divorce for many reasons. Nor does Jesus look to the culture of the Roman government and what they considered permissible, or what the Jewish authority and leaders considered good and right. No, Jesus turns to the place that we all need to turn when asking such questions. Turns to the Word of God. He says, "What did Moses tell you?" Of course, the Pharisees are quick to latch on to an exception. Did you catch that? That there was an exception about marriage. And so they said, "Moses, the book of Moses tells us that it's permissible for a man to write a certificate of divorce and send his wife away." Can you believe that Moses would write such a thing? Moses did, in fact, write that if something was found shamefully dishonorable, if something totally improper had destroyed a marriage, that yes, a certificate of divorce would then be written, the marriage would be ended. But this was not something that God ever advocated or pushed for. Going back to that scene of that child approaching that wolf exhibit, if you should perhaps go too far and fall into that exhibit, or if someone might perhaps sinfully push you in, you're in a pit. And usually there's some sort of a ladder to get you out of there. But you weren't supposed to be there in the first place. So it is with Moses' exception here. If someone finds that their marriage is broken because of sin, they were to write a certificate of divorce, and it was the way out. But you weren't supposed to be in that broken marriage in the first place. And so Jesus writes why that exception is there. It's because he says your hearts were hard that Moses wrote this law. You see, it's the sinful, selfish heart that destroys the blessing and the gift of marriage. And sin destroys relationships, and sin, yes, destroys even that closest bond of marriage. In ancient Israel, there were, in fact, women who were being unfaithful to their spouses and destroying marriages. So Moses says, a certificate of divorce is to be written. And there were men who were simply abandoning and being unfaithful to their wives. And so Moses says, no, there's got to be an official certificate. Much like today, our society and the governing authorities demand that you file for divorce and that marriage is protected, and rightly so, because sin will destroy it. Having explained the reason for that exception, Jesus now turns to the very source and truth behind marriage. And Jesus goes beyond the exception that Moses wrote to the first thing that Moses records, chapter 2 of Genesis. In order to answer the question about marriage, he takes us to the very establishment of marriage. And so you and I need to remember, in order to have a healthy marriage, we need to look at God's establishment of marriage. Let me repeat that. In order to have a healthy marriage, we need to look at God's definition, his establishment of marriage. And so Jesus says, wasn't this way at the beginning? At the beginning, God created them, male and female, at creation. Notice, first of all, Jesus sets the groundwork as he says, there's a creator, God. And he is the one who created this world. He's the one who created our bodies. He has the design and the plan for this world, including male and female and his plan for marriage. It's to him that we are accountable. And it's to him that we need to look for truth regarding his design and his plan for the gift of marriage. And then Jesus describes it as saying, in the beginning he made them male and female. Now some people would say that Jesus never directly spoke against homosexuality, but here, as well as elsewhere, he speaks through the prophets. Here he directly affirms marriage as between one man and woman, as he says, male and female he created them. Or a son will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife. Jesus affirms that marriage is between a man and a woman. Anything to deviate from that is to go against the Creator's design and plan, is to rebel against him. Furthermore, Jesus actually never directly speaks against polygamy. But once again, he here speaks in the positive, and he affirms what marriage is as he says, the two are no longer two, but one. And so marriage is when one man, one woman are joined together in what is to be the closest bond, the closest family tie on earth. So up to this point, Jesus has given us that definition of marriage and understanding. Marriage was established by the Creator as He created male and female, and He brought the two together to become one in the closest bond. Having laid out that definition, Jesus now begins to expound for us just what marriage is. He says they are no longer two, but one. Notice, marriage eliminates selfishness. In a marriage, God intends and designs that there is no longer me and my things, there is now us, and the two become one. In light of this, we are to understand what marriage really is. And is this how people often treat marriage, that they are one with their spouse? The couple, the Fishers, Herbert and Zalmyra, were asked a lot of questions about marriage, and one of the questions they got was, well, how do you make it through all the difficulties in your marriage? And their response was pretty apt. They said, God has joined the two together. We're on the same team. We're not to keep score, not to fight against one another, but God put us on the same team to work together to win together. In a healthy marriage, one views yourself no longer as one, but works together to fight anything that divides that marriage, to fight against anything which would cause the two to become separate, anything which would come between the two, any sin, any offense. But is this the way that marriage is honored? When a husband acts as if though he has his wife and it's her responsibility to do all the housework, and even though he's able to help, doesn't, is he acting like he's married? Or is he acting like he has a maid? He's in selfishness. And the wife who considers that her husband is a source to get what she wants, and she manipulates him to get what she wants, doesn't act like she's married to a husband as one. She acts like he's someone to get something from. And the wife who gossips about her husband in private gossips against herself. And the husband who mocks his wife in public mocks himself. So many, because they don't see the two become one and don't live as marriage is ought to be lived, as one, tear apart marriage at the seams, as they don't even follow the basic definition God has given. And this destruction of marriage is something which happens because of sin. Jesus goes on to further explain and expound that marriage is lifelong. He says, they are no longer two but one. What God has joined together, let no man separate. Notice the definition of marriage sees it as a gift of God. God says at the beginning, He brought the two together. He has joined the two as one. Those who have found a spouse have found a blessing, a gift from God. To view it in any other light is to follow the world's reasoning and the world's desires and to say, well, maybe we're not compatible, or maybe we just can't find happiness with each other. And instead of seeing it as a gift of God, they turn aside from marriage and what it is. And they commit horrible acts of desertion, horrible acts of lovelessness, and break a marriage. Jesus says, let no one separate. Divorce, he goes on to explain, is adultery. When a man divorces his wife, he commits adultery. When a woman divorces her husband, she commits adultery, and the marriage is broken. But who can say that they've upheld marriage as God says we ought? Who of those of you who are married can say we have been one with our spouse in everything? It's that sinful, selfish heart which breaks marriage. Divorce isn't the breaking of marriage, that's the end result. Marriage is broken when the cold heart, because of the hardness of sin, rebels against God's design and does not want to be one with another, refuses to show love, puts self first, refuses to forgive when harms come their way. Marriage is broken, even by God's people, when we selfishly put self first. And this breaking of marriage is a serious thing. The Apostle Paul writes that, don't be deceived, as he speaks both to the married and unmarried who don't honor marriage. He says, don't be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men. None of these, he says, will inherit the kingdom of God. See, the dangers of rebelling against the Creator and His will, the dangers of dishonoring marriage and God's gift of sex, is so destructive. It not only breaks the closest bond between husband and wife, it breaks the connection between us and our God. What ought God to say to us who have not faithfully loved and not faithfully given up selfishness? Ought he not to say to those who have not followed his plan, away from me? We are not one. Hell is divorce from God, and it comes with an everlasting restraining order. Is all lost? Is there any hope for this fallen and broken world because of sin and the hardness of heart? Well, if anybody knows how to deal with a broken, sinful marriage, isn't it our God? When He made a covenant with His people, and He promised to love them, and He entered into that covenant with them, saying He would be faithful to His people. But what did His people do? In rebellion and sin, turned against His design, not just for marriage, but in all deeds of selfishness, in all sexual sins, in all other turning aside from His perfect design. And they broke their covenant with their God. And God's church, you and I, stand, as God's word tells us, with a broken relationship. And yet, our God is faithful. God sees the sin of the human heart and its hardness. And He sees the cold heart, even those that are guilty of divorce. And God decides to fix what was broken. Coming to this world, Jesus came for what He calls His bride, the church. And for His bride, that He might not be separate from her in His love, He says, there's no back door. I'm never stepping out. I'm never giving up, even if it kills me. And there we see Jesus praying for His church, His bride, the night before He dies, as He says, Father, if it's possible, take this cup away. But His will is that He never be separated from His bride. And so He faces the cross, gives His life on the cross for His church, for His people. God, in full faithfulness, forgives. And God, in full faithfulness, now alive from the grave, tells us, His bride, that we are one with Him again. Tells us that we stand cleansed and belong in His kingdom. And that when He comes again, He will take His bride to be with Him in that eternal wedding feast. We are now one with our God, who has forgiven every wrong by giving of Himself. Now as God's people, as His church, this is the type of love that our God directs us as Christian spouses, as those who speak of marriage, to speak of it in such a light. It's the love that God had for His creation, for us, that's to be modeled in marriage. When sin comes to destroy, I think the Fishers said it pretty well. Don't keep score. Place it on the cross. Follow the love of Christ. And when marriages begin to crumble because of sinful, selfish hearts, which either put self first as they turn to pornography, turn towards another person, either another person in reality or in fantasy, or turn towards self, there is the love of God. The love of God calling to repentance, calling to forgiveness, and calling us back to be one. And for a Christian spouse to forgive as Christ forgave you. What makes up a healthy marriage? One that knows God's definition of marriage. That marriage is a gift of God. And one which says, along with Christ, there's no back door. I'm never giving up, even if it kills me. I will love, and I will hold to faithfulness. And even for those marriages that have been broken, there too is the love of God saying, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. To bring new life and hope to the broken. When the Fishers were asked other questions, it's really interesting to see their answers. Another question they were asked was, what makes your marriage transcend and go beyond so many others? And what's the one defining thing in your marriage? And they said, God's commitment. Our marriage is a response to God and a commitment to our Lord. See, they were Christians, and they knew the love of Christ. Marriage is healthy as one holds to that love of God and faithfulness, holds to the love of Christ for his bride. And it's a beautiful thing. And that's what our family values. Our family values healthy marriages as it looks to Christ. Amen.
For more messages like this, visit rockofages-payson.com.